your Bibles, encourage you to take them and turn with me. We've been studying together 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter and this book here, Peter wrote this book to believers, as we know, verse 1, to those who are the elect exiles in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia, and according, as he says there, to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ for sprinkling with his blood. He was writing to believers as they were dispersed. They were facing persecution. They were facing uncertainty. And he was writing this letter to encourage them, even as he said in verses 3 and 4, as we looked at last week, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Wow, we are to be men and women of God, children of God, who bless the name of God, bless God himself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We lift up praise to the Father. We bless his holy name because of what he has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. We praise him because he's given us what? That new birth into a living hope. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Christ rose again, we who are in Christ have that hope that we too will rise again and be caught up with the Lord. Praise his name. To what? Verse 4, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It will last forever. It will not run out. That's good news. Good news. So tonight we are in chapter 1 now, and we are in verses 1 through 5. And this, verses I would say, would be understanding God's power. Have you ever seen God's power on display? Have you ever seen God's power demonstrated in a miraculous way, in a mighty way, in a majestic way? God's power. We know that his creation can rise up and cause us to think about God's power. When you think about hurricanes, when you think about tornadoes, and there was that terrible tornado that came through Kentucky, and that says 200 miles, and they don't know how many folks were killed by that. Some say that it even went up to 30,000 feet in the air, some of the damage. The display of God's, was that God's power? Well, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the weather, and yes, it could be. God's power, have you ever seen it on display? Well, let's find out a little bit more about God's power and how we can understand it and really be lifted up to the place of worship as we look at it. Verses 5 through 7. Peter is continuing to write here. He says in verse 4, he says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, the energizing, enabling, quickening, illuminating power of your Spirit to speak to our hearts from your word. And Father, I do pray that my words will not be mine, but that they will be yours. And Lord, that you will work your work of grace, that we will all be built up in the faith to that point of maturity in Christ, that we may shine for you and be strengthened in the inner man. So, Lord, I ask that you will do this because of the power that works so readily in each of us, that of your Spirit. For the glory of Christ, for the honor and praise of his name, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's power. It says there, first of all, three truths based on each of these verses is that God's power, first of all, provides protection. Provides protection. Verse 5 says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who by God's power? Who's the who that he's speaking of? He's speaking of those who were born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is who he's speaking of, kept in heaven for you. Who? You. You believers. You are being guarded, he says, by God's power. God's power brings protection. This Greek word here is dynamon, and it means power, strength, ability, efficacy, energy, meaning, purpose of language. It is authority, majesty. It's mighty. It displays God's omnipotence, that God is all-powerful. It's miraculous. So God, in his miraculous strength, is guarding you. You're being guarded through faith. Guarded, this protection that God is doing. Guarded, shielded, kept safe. It's like garrisoned in a body of troops stationed in a fortified place. The Amplified Version says that you who are being guarded by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. It means that you are guarded, shielded, even fact, to be held prisoner. In other words, God is protecting you to the place of your faith that you will not be taken captive by anything else. He's shielding you. Wow. He's allowing you to keep watch. The idea is that there is a military guard garrisoned in this fortress, and you are there being protected by the army of God. I don't know if you ever think about God's power protecting you in such a way, but you are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed by his angelic army of God. Wow. It's a settlement or a state of security that is there. It's because of your faith in Christ. It's ready to be revealed in this last time. This garrison, this army that is protecting you. No matter what the enemy is doing against you, no matter what's coming at you, God's power is there to protect you. Have you ever experienced God's protection? Have you ever felt God's protection? Have you seen it demonstrated in your life, how he has protected you? I know at times in my own life, there were times when I was driving in traffic and so forth, and like, oh man, I could have had an accident. Oh, but God, in his mercy, protected us or protected me, especially when I was a young man in college. God protected. God can protect. He is our shield. Here he is protecting, God's power is protecting through faith, through salvation. He's protecting those who put their faith and trust in him to bring them to that place in glory to receive their godly inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Wow. God's going to be with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord will lead us to that place of glory to receive that inheritance. And this is ready to be revealed in the last time, referring to the last days Christ is to be revealed. And so what should God's power do for us? It should help us to be ready, to be, yes, on watch, to be on guard, but also to be ready to receive all the good blessings that God has for us in the future. So our response is to praise Him. God's power inspires praise. Verse 6 speaks about this. So in this, He says, you what? You're bummed out, you're disappointed, you're discouraged, you're disheartened, you're angry, you're depressed. No, He says, in this you rejoice. 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 Christmas time, it says, by many is a time where many folks become discouraged and depressed, and they're lonely or they're filled with stress. I got to find that perfect gift. I can't find that perfect gift. Nobody gives me a gift. Nobody cares about me. I feel all alone. But it is a time when we as the people of God should be filled with praise, inspired by the real meaning of Christmas. As we touched on this morning, that Christ did that which was impossible. He came and bore upon Himself your sin, my sin, the sins of the whole world, absolving the wrath of God, paid the penalty in full, rose again the third day, giving victory and hope. Hallelujah. And so in this, we should what? Rejoice, to celebrate, to praise the Lord, to be exceedingly filled with joy, rejoice exceedingly, to desire ardently that exaltation to God. We should praise Him continually. It's like that hymn says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will what? Surprise you what the Lord has done. To rejoice exceedingly in Him. So we can rejoice when we see God's power at work. God's power is on display when a lost person comes to know Christ. They come to have faith in Christ. That's the display of God's power, His resurrection power, moving someone who was once dead, lost in their sin, now is born again, birthed into new life with the Lord. They're alive forevermore. The hope of heaven is filling their soul. Hallelujah. And this should cause us to celebrate, to praise Him. And then He goes on, but though for a little while, He says there, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while. In other words, right now you're not really experiencing joyful times if you're going through trials and testings and tribulations. If necessary, because you have been what? Grieved. You've been troubled. You've been grieved by various trials. Even though now you're going through it for a little while, you're grieved by these trials, Peter is saying, I want you to rejoice. And back a little bit in James, what did James tell the believers there in 1 verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So there is this desire, I believe, from God that His people, no matter what they are going through, yes, we're being grieved by the circumstances that surround us, but oh, don't let them rob you of His joy. We are to be people who are filled with praise. We are to count it all joy. Even though right now we're grieved by various trials, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes I've heard people say, well, it's not the real big events in life, it's the little ones that get me off track. You know, it's like I got a sticker in my shoe or a spur or there's something sharp and it just irritates me all the time, right? I'm grieved by that. We need to rejoice even in the midst of the trials. That doesn't necessarily mean, Lord, oh, I thank you for the pain that I'm going through. No, it's, Lord, I thank you for who you are while I'm going through the pain. And I want you to receive all the praise while I go through the pain. And by your mercy, I'd love for you to take away the pain and the problems and the trials and the pressures and the stresses so that I can experience your peace in the midst of the storm. What storms, what trials are you facing? What pressures are mounting up on you that is causing you to maybe be grievous, sorrowful, irritated? We need to lay them at the Master's feet and say, Lord, even in the midst of these trials, help me to count it all joy. Because I know you're at work. I know that you are with me. And I know it's just for a season. It's just for a little bit. So may you use them to inspire praise. Wow. To inspire praise. We see as well, though I'm grieved, I need to praise the Lord. And give him honor and give him praise. Thirdly, in verse 7, we see that God's power demonstrates persistence. Demonstrates persistence. That pursuing of God's Holy Spirit to reveal in our lives through his loving mercy, sovereign care for us over the days that we walk with him. He is persistent. He's pursuing us to demonstrate his power, his grace, his mercy. Verse 7, it says there, verse 6, it says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Demonstrates God's power, demonstrates persistence. What's happening here? His character, he is on the move. He is allowing that grievous trial to come into your life to test the authenticity, the genuineness of your faith. It is entered into your life to really work in your life to kind of prove that you are his. And that you're relying on him as you go through it. And so he is working in you to have a greater, deeper faith, as he says, is more precious than what? Gold. Your faith is being refined and purified and worked on and made to be like that of Christ, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Tonight we sung about that testing by fire, that there was going to be someone else in that fire with us. Songwriter there, I think, was alluding to what? The story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they had to bow before the idol of who? Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, if you don't bow to me, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they didn't bow. They said, we believe God can deliver us, but whether he does or not, we're not going to bow down to you. And so what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He took them and they threw them in the fire. And he raised the temperature so much so that the guards guarding that fire, they were consumed by it. And as King Nebuchadnezzar looked, he didn't see just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saw a fourth person that looked like the angel of the Lord there in the midst with them in the fire. What does that say for you and me? That as we go through the circumstances of this life as a child of the Most High God, that the Lord God Almighty is with us. especially when our faith is on trial, so to speak. And God is allowing that circumstance, the testing of our faith, to be more precious than gold, purified, tested by fire. And so then what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They came out of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar called them out, man. Called them out. He saw the angel of the Lord, one like the Son of the Most High God. Some theologians believe that it was Christ that was there with them. The writer of Hebrews says that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet knew no sin. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what temptation we're facing, no matter what heartache we're dealing with, Christ understands. And we can go to him for strength. We can go to him for wisdom. We can go to him for deliverance. We can go to him to be our protector. Lord, in this moment of weakness, we can pray. Lord, in this moment of temptation, this trial, help me to rely upon your power so that you receive all the glory and that there's victory. Malachi 3, 1 through 4 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years." Prophet Malachi was speaking to his people that the Lord was going to come and do a refining work, a purifying work, a cleansing work, and that there would be offerings unto the Lord, praise, celebration to the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 12, verse 6, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver, purified, and a crucible, like gold, refined seven times." Isn't it interesting that even Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he raised that temperature up. I don't know how many times, but I don't know if it was 3 or 7. I can't recall, but he did. But God does that. He works in our lives, persistently pursuing us, molding and shaping us. He doesn't say to us, "Oh, I want you to come to me, but when you come to me now, here's the list that you got to take care of. You got to take care of all this before you can be accepted." No, God doesn't do that. God takes us as we are. And then he doesn't, as some have said, doesn't leave us as we are. He begins to work in us and mold us and shape us to the image of his glorious Son. That should cause us to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hallelujah. So in this should cause us to rejoice and also to be thankful that God demonstrates in us his persistent power. It says there that what's the result of this persistent pursuit of God and his power? Well, we'll be made right, yes, but we may be found to result in what? Here's that word again, praise. Praise. So we are to rejoice in the Lord, bring praise to him, but here it is again. We are to be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we gather together, we can celebrate, we can sing praises unto the Lord because of his great work of salvation that he's done and that he's cleansed our hearts from wickedness to righteousness, from iniquity to holiness, and it's all through Jesus. We can say, like Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." the Father of compassion, and the God of comfort, all comfort. Ephesians 1:3, he told the Ephesians, Paul did, he said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." He said to the Philippians, he says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then in Peter, as we looked at, we are to praise be to the God, blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 7 that we just touched on, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. And then chapter 4, verse 11 of 1 Peter says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Christ is being revealed. We're to give him glory. We're to give him honor. And we are to be in that place where he is being revealed from his word and by his Holy Spirit in our lives. Ephesians chapter 1 is a beautiful passage of scripture and speaks of just all the blessings that we have in Christ. But verses 16 through 23 state this. Paul is saying to the believers there, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that resides in your heart and in my heart if we have come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've been born again, as Peter says, into a living hope. Hallelujah. This should encourage us, even though we feel that we're being grieved for a little while by the trials that we are facing, that we are dealing with. So the question that we ask is, well, what does this mean for me then? How does God's word apply to your life, to my life? Are you aware of the protection that God gives you from his power? Have you seen God's power demonstrated in your life, in the events around you? Do you know that God's protecting you? Do you need his protection right now? In what ways? Have you been praising God in the midst of suffering or sickness or trials or temptations or persecution? Have you seen the patience of God working in your life on your behalf? Has God pursued you? How has God's power been demonstrated? How has his persistence been demonstrated in your life through his power? In closing, I'd like us to read together, if you take your hymnal, and turn to page number 656, reading 689. And this is dealing with praise, because God desires us, his people, to bless his name, to praise him, to rejoice in him, and to give him praise, glory, and honor. And one of the ways we do that is by honoring him, and we can read this together in unison. So if you have a hymnal close by, grab one. We're going to ask you to stand, because we've been sitting, and let's stand and read, and we'll read it all together. So we don't have to worry about who's going to read the dark print or the italicized. It's reading number 689. It's on page number 656 in the back of the hymnal. Okay, page 656 and reading number 689. It's entitled Praise. Here we go. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nation, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Blessed be his name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the message that we've heard tonight. We thank you, Lord, that it is your desire to really be aware of your power at work, and we thank you for that. We thank you that your power protects. We thank you that your power causes and inspires us to praise you. We thank you, Lord, that in your great mercy and compassion, that your power is persistent. It pursues us. And we praise you for that, that you do that purifying work in our lives, that you are there to be our strength even in the midst of trials and hardships. And Lord, in those times, in those moments, may we rely upon you so that we may count it all joy when we face those trials and we may give you praise and honor. We praise you tonight for the gift of salvation. We praise you tonight for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We praise you tonight for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. We praise you tonight for your holy word. And we thank you for the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. May we declare your praise and be light as we go from this place, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.